All right, we are here. When we say we are here, we're referring to sharing with you the point of time, the point of light that you have chosen to be here now. So we come to your point of being here now. And so now we are here too. But like you, we are also everywhere else. The rest of you is all over the place. You're everywhere at every place and every time. There is no time outside the illusion. There's the concept of time. But the illusion of time, or the sense that time has a reality, is here. But you're a vast, vast being, and only part of you, part of the wholeness of you, is actually having this physical lifetime. And so we bring a point of focus of us to this intersection of light pieces that spark that for you is the now. So here we are, and now it is time for questions. We invite your questions. They are part of the workshop, and they help everyone. So don't be shy in asking your question, because you'd be amazed at how many aspects of your issues with time are shared by others who can find great benefit from what you are experiencing and what you are curious about. So, Daniel, give the microphone to someone. Let's see a show of hands who wants to ask a question.
Hello, Glexis.
Well, hello.
This is Flo.
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like I want to be in the organic time to become more peaceful in my own rhythm, but there's also deadlines and demands of the world that we need to go into meetings with people and they only want to be there for an hour or 2 hours. Everything is set, so people have to get to places. So there's a struggle of balance of my organic time and my internal linear time and their linear time. So how do you just have a synergy between everyone's time?
All right. Okay, we would like to point out that when you are in organic time, you like to have your appointments in organic time too. But your culture doesn't really like to live in organic time. And in fact, the virtue, the only really significant virtue of the clock in a society that's not in connection with nature and not in connection with people's psyches and telepathic communication is to have to use the clock. Now, normally, when you have a meeting, let's say, an appointment with somebody or a meeting with someone, it is set at a certain time and place, is it not?
Yes.
When you set that appointment with this person, you and they or whoever is going to attend the meeting basically agree or know that it's there, and they choose at this meeting that they will go to. And you also, it is a choice when you make it. All right? Now, when you go into organic time, you know, the day comes where the meeting is, or whatever that situation is, where there's a deadline, an appointment, or something that, and so forth. And if you're in organic time during that day, and you look out, oh, I'm going to have a meeting later today, and you don't really look forward to it, okay, there's some resistance. As soon as you have resistance to it, it's like, oh, but I'm having so much fun in organic time. Oh, I just want to drift and be in my space, in my time. I don't want to have to get out of this and transition and have to get in the car and then I have to drive and I have to bitch and moan and complain. You understand?
Yes.
It's that when the transition time comes, I've got to stop doing what I'm doing, because I've got to start to get ready to go now. You know what that moment feels like?
Mm-hmm.
Probably all of you do. It's like, oh drat. Okay. All right. Now, what does that do to time? That creates resistance. It creates drag. It creates snaggy things. It creates disharmony. So what happens is, right off the bat, you're taking magic out of the experience. If you have no resistance, if you are in flow, if you're in your power saying, I chose this meeting, and oh great, there's this meeting, I'm going to go to it now, and this is what I chose, and yes, and if you feel good about it, and you let yourself be there, and you put your energies with it, because it's your choice, and yes, I confirm and affirm that's my choice, so okay, I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go there, and all the traffic lights will be green, and I'll, you know, whatever. You can start setting up a different reference point, different energy prior to the meeting. Because what happens is that if you have resistance to the meeting, right, it's like, okay, as we were talking about, here's the point of light that you're in now, and there's a point in the future called the meeting. Okay, and then there's these things that you do, these points of light in between that you've got on the timeline lined up with the meeting of the things that you have to have done before you get to the meeting. Maybe there's some material to prepare, or simply that you have to, you know, shower and change clothes and get in the car, or whatever it has to be. You see, there's these points. If you look at each one of these points with resistance, how much magic are you going to create for the meeting? None. Basically, you're going to see yourself, in a sense, as a victim. You're going to see yourself as having to split yourself in two. And one part of you is what we call the internal parent. Okay? Or the slave driver. That's the one that comes in and says, you said you'd go to this meeting. You got to go now. You got to stop everything you're doing. Can't do that anymore. Got to go now. You got to leave now. It takes the function of parent. And then who are you? Child. You're not in your maturity. You're not in your power. You're not in your adult self. Only the adult self, truly, a person in their power. And in a sense, knowing who they are, ownership of themselves in a greater sense of light and presence, and saying, okay, this meeting is just part of my mission. It's part of my flow. If you're in that adult, then that meeting has more potential for magic, opportunities, windows opening for you. And that meeting will shine more brightly as it comes closer. And then all these intermediate lights, points of light that you have set up as your strategies, as your steps or stages to get there, each one of those will be met with a positive response. It will be a willingness. You'll be in your will. You won't be kicking and screaming like a kid and being pulled by the ear and made to sit down in class and do your work. So some of that has to do with your definition of what work is. If you have judgments on things, if you have judgments about the people you're meeting with, well, you know, they're always so resistant, they're always so judgmental, and they're always this way and that way and so forth, and they're so hard to talk to, and they have their way, and it's not my way, and you can, if you get into all that kind of mental dialogue before you go, what are you creating there? It's like we say, if you focus too much on the problem, then you don't create magic. You create snags. So the object here is for you to stay in your adult, to stay in your power, to stay in your choice. And like we say, if there's a duty or an obligation, you know, when you set it up initially, you didn't set it up necessarily to be an onerous obligation. It's like, okay, this seems reasonable, that seems okay, I think I'll go for that. That if when time comes to do it, if you set it up to be an onerous obligation or some kind of interruption to something that you enjoy and making some unpleasant duty that you must attend to, you have so much resistance that you're going to create struggle, and most likely you're going to create resistance in the meeting. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So that's why we were saying stay in your power. That second point is very important. You've got to stay in your power. And when you stay in your power, you're in choice. Now, what this is going to do for you in the long run, which is a really very highly beneficial thing and result or impact of it, is that once you start spending a lot of your energies stepping back into your power and stepping back into choice and say, I chose to do this. I chose to set this up. I chose to take on this obligation. I chose to take on this demand. I chose to accept this deadline. And even if it's part of your job that, you have a supervisor giving you a deadline for some kind of project and this is your salaried position and you go there and work every day, you chose to go there to work. And you chose the parameters. You said, okay, what parameters come with my work? I choose to come and do this work because I want to earn my living and blah, blah, blah. So it's all choice, ultimately. You see, so it takes a certain amount of awareness. So what you do is that you look at it all and say, look, I made choice about that. And you go back to that self that you were that made the decision to meet with those people, for example. And you say, when I was in that state, how did I perceive it? How did I perceive the benefit of this meeting? What was the benefit of that? You see, was it somehow it was something that your company needed to do or that you needed to do or whatever it was, or there's something that had a possibility for some kind of interesting outcome that would be fairly fun for you perhaps. So you look at what your intentions were at the meeting or for this deadline. What was the intention? What did you want? You wanted to get this done before something else so that things would move more smoothly that way. So that could be done and so these other things could happen. So you had a lot of evaluation before you made this choice. Okay, let's have that meeting at 2 p.m. or whatever. So if you can go back and recollect where you were at when you made that choice, you ask yourself, did I make this choice from my place of power, or when I made this choice, was I kind of in a needy place or a whiny place or a confused place, an indecisive place, and I'm not sure about this, and well, okay, maybe we'll do this meeting. What state were you in when you made the initial choice? If you were not in your power, it becomes very evident, very apparent, I made that choice to please somebody, or I made that choice because it seemed out of necessity that if I didn't have this meeting, then this other thing that I would like would not occur. And so I like, oh, okay, I had to make the meeting. Once you realized how you made your choice, then you have, and this is the benefit, you can then evaluate the way you make your choices. In other words, if you find you're making your choice from a victim place, from a child place, from, okay, I'll have to kowtow, all right, if you make it from that kind of place, then you're not in your power. Okay, so then make a resolution. I'm not going to make commitments when I'm in that space anymore. I'm not going to make a commitment until I'm in my power and I really truly wish to make that commitment. I'm not going to make that commitment for some underlying agenda, like for somebody to think a little better of me or to want or somehow or another that maybe this will be a favor I'm giving them and then maybe I can pull the favor on them because they have this gift or talent and all of that stuff is not in your power. You see, so stop making choices from a powerless place. So if you are making your choices and commitments from a powerless place, you have this feedback and you can change it by choice. Isn't that cute? You've got that choice ability. You can change whatever choice you have made and make a new choice. That is part of your power, part of your natural heritage as a light being, as a reality creator. You're here in a universe that is oriented towards free will. Free will means that every individual in this universe has choice. In fact, you wouldn't have come to this universe if you weren't interested and fascinated and wanting to explore personal power and choice. To you, that was just, hey, this is the universe for me. So here is where the tire hits the road, yes? So look at how you make your priorities. You know, you just as an aside, you know, look at, we're talking about fourth dimension, it's also space. Look how you make priorities in your space. How you decorate your place. How much clutter is in your place? How much stuff that's unprocessed is in your place? How empty is it? Or is it overflowing? You see, how do you use your space? Is there never enough space for everything you want to do, for your projects or whatever it is? Or do you have way lots of space? How do you use your space? It's prioritization. And it's like people who come to us and say, well, I can't ever seem to find the time to do such and such. And we would suggest you'd find the time if you really wanted to do such and such. You'd make the time to do it. You see? It would be your prioritization. You would prioritize it. Balance the priorities to all the other things that you have to do. And when you find your priorities, your preferences, know why they are your preferences. Are they your preferences because they have positive benefit to you and it feels good? Or are they your preferences because you think you have to? Are you in power when you make your preferences? This has a lot to do with the way you hold the energy and hold the flow of time. Time will not flow smoothly if you don't have your preferences lined up according to your true nature. Because the very essence of your light beingness is that your true nature, when you own it, when you are in alignment with your temperament and the way you are and honoring who you are and respecting yourself, that when you make choices from that place in your own power, there is no resistance, there's no drag, so time flows freely. And when time flows freely, you have access to fourth dimension and therefore to magic. And when you have access to fourth dimension, you have greater access to fifth dimension, to imagination. So if you want to do anything creative, you have to remove the resistances. You have to prioritize it. Well, we went on that aside because there was a few other factors there. But does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. All right, who else?
Hello, Glypsis. This is Diane.
Well, hello.
Hi. So nice to be here again. I think this could apply to all of us. In terms of time, and we've chosen to come here during this exciting time of many changes, but we now, since everything is so in our faces, in the world that we're living in, problems and beauties and whatever. And we want to create our world, but we're living in what may become more chaotic in the world and go through a cleansing process. I would think that might be what we're going through, or prioritizing. How do we live in it, in the world, but not necessarily get caught up in all of the chaos of it? How do we create our beautiful world?
All right. Well, the where you create your beautiful world is this. You see, you and your crew got together before you got into the physical body and said, here's a beautiful illusion to play in. All right? And in this illusion, you're going to go there, find love and all sorts of interesting experiences, including anger and sorrow and pain and everything. You're going to get the whole gamut of stuff. And you thought, oh, this sounds very exciting, right? And you're going to be present for the great shift. Fantastic. Yay. I'm going to be well, there's also a personal mission, not just for the planet, not just global. You have a personal mission in which you create your reality for you. Now, what that means is that what the reality is that's going on out there, quote unquote, out there in the illusion of the world around you, the chaos and the craziness and the sorrow and the sadness and the rage and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you have had to experience a lot of that yourself. However, you have done enough personal work and you've thought about this a lot and you've had a certain inclination to really help, and you have a heart that's open and big and you see their suffering and you think, well, I've got to go and help the world. Well, dear one, you don't help the world until you help yourself first. Your personal mission comes first. And in your personal mission, what you do is that you sustain your power. You develop very beautiful relationships with all things. And hence the series of workshops we have been doing and will continue to do on healing your relationship with. All right? Because your relationships with your world is filtered through the perspectives and viewpoints and attitudes and beliefs and so forth of your consensus or collective reality of the culture that you are in. And these are only leading into more destruction and chaos and so forth and so on. Because the energies of the future, in a way, overall are getting stronger now because there's a velocity and acceleration in your growth. So from a time, quote unquote, orientation, time is speeding up because the future's coming at you more intensely. It's to be used for you personally first. When you can get yourself in flow with time, with money, with space, with relationships with people, as you get yourself into a new orientation or heal whatever is dysfunctional in those relationships, you will find that your life becomes more smooth. The flow becomes more dynamically glorious. There's more magic. You have access to fourth and fifth dimensions. You realize that your intuition and your creativity are expanding in leaps and bounds, and you can feel yourself accelerate. That means that you're pacing with the flow of the future. You're in alignment with it in a positive way. So we would suggest, for those of you who care about the planet, and you all do, because that's also part of why you came, was to help out in the long run. There are several ways that you are going to help out on the planet. Now, one of the ways might be actually go out there and touch people, talk to people, heal people, lift people, inspire people, or have clientele, people who come to you to lift and touch and heal and inspire. Or you may be meditating, holding a resonance of light, and in meditation, sending it around the planet, not being visible in any way, but touching everyone nevertheless, lifting the resonance, lifting the frequency. You may be doing it by doing something that is creatively, passionately exciting for you, to where you create something that is magnificent and you experience in its fullness a glorious creative process, be it a book or a play or a movie or a piece of sculpture or whatever venue, whatever form it comes through. It doesn't even have to come through that, you know, like a healing space. People do feng shui, phenomenal, to keep the flow of energy and flow of light going through spaces, any which way, any vehicle that you use. You see, so you find yourself using this, then just by you having gone through the process in the collective unconscious, or the group mind, you have added a map. You have added a pathway, a trail, let's say, that you have blazed from concept and idea into manifestation, and just by the experience of going through it, it has become more available to those who are more attuned. So there's lots of ways to do it. Some people are just here observing. But most of you want to participate. It's too exciting. Right? But take care of your own power first. Hold your own power, because if you don't, what you end up doing is becoming too, the danger of the martyr empath. The martyr empath is someone who cares about the planet, but not particularly that much value given to themselves. They give much more to helping others and serving others and giving to others and loving others. This is the thing to do. Oh, me? Oh, I'm just this humble instrument. Oh, I'm this nothing. Oh, these are people who are not getting rid of their shame, getting rid of their feelings of inadequacy. So they displace the attention from themselves, which could be judgmental and painful or scary. And especially, you know, if they're in a certain religion that thinks they're going to be punished for all their sins, you know. So they take that energy and they shift it out. Okay, I'm going to compensate for all my inadequacies, my flaws, my failures, my craziness, my stupidities. I'm going to go and support and help everybody out there. Now, initially, there is this desire to do so, or you wouldn't have found, you know, whoever does this would not have found this channel to do it through, or this form in which to do it. But, you see, when you are changing paradigms, is what is happening right now, the first place to change it is in yourself, or you cannot help anyone else change. All right? If you try to help the world change along with you, and try to bring the whole world along with you, this is too heavy a load. You cannot carry this load. None of you can. It's too much. And what happens then is that you start feeling the world's pain, and then you start feeling the world's issue, and you are burdened with the world's shame. And do you think you can process that yourself? No. Not when you're only focused on a piece of yourself. Yes, if you were in the you that was the all that you are, yeah, you could probably see how to do that. You could probably move the energies. But the thing is, it's a free will universe, and you want to work with this illusion that's here in this plane, and you also want to see the effects of the experiment on giving free will to everyone. It's not for you to drag anybody into the new reality, but for you to, by your choice, to go there and with your power and create the paths, blaze the trails, have the imprints ready. And then if you want to go and do it more visibly, in form, go out there and be seen and talk to people and write books and lectures and be on TV or whatever. And, oh, get on Oprah, whatever you need to do to make a difference, to have a big splash, to get the change going. Then you'll choose to do that. And then, in your power, if that's what you choose to do, it will unfold for you. You see? But so many people have not cleared the pain and the self-image that's lowly, or the wounded self-image of themselves that they keep holding and nurturing and hiding away so that no one can see it. See, I feel like I'm a real scumbag. I feel that I'm really inadequate to do any of this stuff. I'm just this kind of like little nothing, and you know, this is a big world, and I'm a space cadet. I can't really, you know, get my act together and all. So I'm really not up to all of this. Poor me, poor me. That's a wounded self-image. That comes from damage that you've experienced, ta-ta, in your past, most likely. Or it can come from fears that you've projected into the future that reinforce that you're inadequate to deal with it. Process. All right? The key is process. Go to the past, change it. Go to the future, change it. stay in the present. Hold your power. You see? And as you do that, you won't have to carry so much weight. Some people are finding it extremely destructive to their physical bodies to carry so much crap of the whole cultures that they're in. It's not your job to do that. If you want to help the world, first of all, you help yourself, and then you say, hi, here is what I'm experiencing. Would you like to experience this too? And those out of their free will who feel inclined will come along. Now, we call it an experiment, but the outcome is known. Most people are going to shift. Some people will not. There will be a world that will continue into the chaos and to destruction. You can imagine that. If you imagine and dream that or fear that, what world are you going to be on? You'll be on that one. But you have the choice to dream a new one for yourself so that your life flows with ease and elegance and grace. And as your life flows with joy and as you are happier and you're shining your light and you're stronger and maybe healthier and more vibrant, you can make a much more difference there. You don't have to carry anybody's stuff. You're just being you. You're just holding the resonance of yourself as the light worker, knowing who you are more and more with each step of your journey. And that's really your personal mission, is to know who you are and to live your life accordingly. If you can know that you are a powerful reality creator and a light being, and that you're totally worthy, and that you're really okay, there's nothing wrong with you, you're not flawed, you're not a mistake, you're not stupid, you're not crazy, then you'll find that your life works out a lot better. There's a lot of less resistance to the world. But if you think poorly of yourself, there's tremendous resistance to the world. And you're going to resonate with all the crap that's floating around in the airwaves. You know, it's like if you are on the radio station of anger, you're going to pick up everybody's, all right? You're going to step into situations with angry people until you deal with your anger. If you're on the radio station of fear, what you're going to pick up, what you're going to experience. Fear so that you can deal with it. Everything that you, all these crossings, all these points of now are opportunities. They can all be mirrors to you. They can all be points of reference where you can evaluate what your reality is. When you see these points out there in the world and they're reflecting to you pain and suffering and sorrow, then your job as a reality creator is to end all the pain, suffering, and sorrow in you. When you do that, your world begins to heal. All right? See how much power you've got? It's your great heart and your love that asks that question, you know, comes out of you. Yes. And we know it's there. And as you love yourself more and more, the results that you're going to see in your planet are going to become more obvious. You understand?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you for that question.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Hello, Galexis. I'm Peter.
Hello.
The question I have is more of a situation. As an example, driving up to Los Angeles once, I was just so pathetically tired. The trip up to Los Angeles seemed to take about 50 years. And it was like the freeway. I was going 80 miles an hour, but the freeway seemed to be going by about one.
Right. And time is subjective.
Exactly. It was so slow. And then I went up again, and I had a friend in the car and did the same trip. The conversation was immensely satisfying. The trip seemed to last about 20 seconds. And it was just done. And my question is, and it sounds humorous, but it's not really. The question is, if I'm in a bored state, am I going to live a lot longer? And if I'm happy, is life going to go by really quick?
All right. Well, that can be the perception. That can indeed be the perception. But we want you to realize that you've got plenty of time. So it's not really anything to be concerned about. But, yes, if people really get into struggle – let's say, and hardship, if you've noticed that their lives are very laborious, and it just keeps going on and on and on, who wants to live that life? They would be the type of people who would like be part of the consensus programs on health and illness, and they wouldn't change them. So people who are stressed, of course, people who are powerless, unhappy, bored, miserable, tired, etc., are very stressed people. These people are on the program of the consensus, and most likely they'll get the diseases right on schedule, and they will die right on, kind of on schedule, or they will have to suffer a certain amount, depending on how much they kick and thrash about it, and so on. But you see, you're not going to live your life being bored. So the question doesn't really even apply to you. You're just afraid if you're in a negative space, that it's going to seem like time is lengthened out. Yes, it is. It will appear lengthened out. It will appear that it takes much more effort to get through it, because when you're in a bad space, you're resisting your reality. You're just resisting all over. You know, think about how much work you had to do when you drove up to L.A. to overcome the tiredness. You had to force yourself to go up anyway, right? You were tired. You were probably starting to get, like, really angry. I have to go, and I really don't want to go. I'm tired. I don't feel up to it. Grumble, 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 grumble. And so when you're in that state, this takes tremendous amount of energy to overwhelm so that you can make yourself do it. You have to split into two. Your internal slave driver had to come in and crack the whip. And then we would say it wasn't your child self that drove up to L.A., but it was your adolescent self. And you know how adolescent selves, how when you were a teenager, how you knew really well how to whine, right? And complain and sneer and judge things and be angry young man, you know? So your slave driver was whipping your teenage self all the way up to L.A., all right? Now, when your friend came along on the ride, your friend and you had a, you know, fun conversation. You were two adults flowing in magic. So it's really great. Now, what we recommend is that, of course, and of course if you want that too, is to be in that second state much more often. This will not, in a sense, shorten your life. Actually, it creates longevity to experience that. If you experience your whole life in that flow, you're going to have amazing longevity. The boundaries of longevity are going to be broken by people who can work with time. If you fight and kick and scream and resist, you're going to have a shortened or regular, normal, programmed lifespan, filled with the regular, normal amounts of stress a current industrial civilization has. But if you have those days in which everything flows and you're in magic, what you're doing is you're creating more of those days. Do you understand? What power you have. Whereas that becomes natural to you, intrinsic to you, something that you anticipate every day. I'm going to have another day of flow and magic and fun and so on. How are you going to feel? How's your body going to work? How is your mind going to function? Yeah, your days may just go by like so, but there are going to be so many more of them. So where would you rather be? You see, being that you have choice, isn't it wondrous? You don't have to live the normal, 70-something years life expectancy in what we call mediocre life. A kind of, okay, so-so, okay, got to do this, okay, got to do that, and finally die in harness. Never having really had the full pleasure and full enjoyment of being yourself. Thank you for that question.
Thank you for that answer.
Hi, my name is Cindy.
Hello.
I don't know if this question pertains to what's happening today, but it's something that I'm asking. I don't know if you can give me an answer. I had something come to
me. We're here.
In my non-mind self, and something kept saying Mahadra over and over in my mind. And I wrote it down. A couple of days later, I looked it up, and it took me to the Mahadra Adhrania. And as I looked it up, it was an invocation, brought me to the Ark of the Covenant with everything about 12-strand DNA and many, 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 many other things. So I was just wondering if it's worth delving into much further.
All right. Okay. Do you know what part of yourself kept telling you that? The part of you that kept saying that in your mind?
It was a name that I'd never heard before.
Right, but there's a part of you that said that to you.
Yes.
And it didn't come from your ordinary, everyday conscious self. It came from a greater part of you. It came from something beyond the usual, didn't it not?
Yes.
All right. It was a kind of a prompting, because it repeated it, right?
Yes.
Okay, because you didn't go look it up the first time.
Well, what happened was it was almost a chanting voice that said it. It was a male voice, and it was a chanting voice. And I was in a non-mind place, and when I wrote it down, I wrote it in a book, and I forgot about it. And a few days later, that's when I remembered this word and looked it up.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. So what we're saying is that there's a part of you that is everywhere. We talked about the multidimensional you.
Yes.
And filtering down through that, you get messages sent from that greater you, from your spirit helpers, from higher self, from your spiritual family, and from your spiritual heritage, etc., etc. You can get messages. And so you got a message. Now, you went and looked it up. My gosh, it opened up a whole new window, a whole new amount of information, a whole body of information, in fact. Okay, how do you feel about that information? Did it excite you when you read it?
Yes, very much.
You felt the connection, the link between the words that came to you by that voice and your awareness of how it actually existed as something. And you felt a connection with it, a link to it, right?
Correct.
All right. This is something coming down to you from a higher place of you. It does not come with a demand, okay? It does not come with an expectation. It does not come with a price to pay. It came as an offering, as a gift to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? You're not obligated to do anything with it. But we would suggest that at least, at the very least, for you to thank your higher self, thank whoever it is that spoke to you. Feel the gratitude of receiving a touch from eternity, through the fourth dimension, from beyond, to come through to you, to link you up to a certain frequency. Because when you read that information, you got a download.
Yes.
All right? You have something that went on in you that upgraded some of your system. All right? Now, it's not necessary that you go, okay, I'm going to get really dedicated to this, and I'm going to work with a 12-strand DNA system, and I'm going to get into this and learn this and do that and so forth and work with this teacher and blah, 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 and chant this every day and so on and so on. You don't need to do that unless you desire to. And if you desire to, yay, fine. And if you don't, in the gratitude, know that you connected with another piece of yourself, that you are more now, since that happened, than before. You see? It's going to be your free choice as to what you do with it, where you place it in your timeline, what you want to do with your physical life in regards to it. Because for some people, something like this happens, takes them on a whole new direction in their life. And what this gave you was an opportunity of a point of power, a pivotal point, where you could say, okay, I'm grateful for this. I am more now than I was. And what do I want to do now? What choices do I want to make now? You gave yourself this evaluation opportunity. We would suggest, if you haven't really done it and thought about it, what do I want to do with it? Where do I wish to take it? It's not an imperative. There's nobody saying, okay, dear one, you must do this. You know, it's something that is a gift. And it absolutely comes with no strings. Okay, a lot of you don't know the concept of a gift without strings. And it's unfortunate. Some of that's very sad. It's part of a collective reality and dysfunctional families and so forth. But you do get gifts all the time, and they're for free. So no obligation. The most important thing here is to remain totally guilt-free over this. Enjoy it, relish it, play with it, and do with it whatever you will. And whatever you choose to do with it is perfectly suited for you. All right?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See, that also kind of goes along with that whole idea of that you have plenty of time. You're not behind. Because a lot of times people get these thoughts. Well, this is not uncommon, especially at this time on the planet, that those of you who are like a bit brighter than the, you know, mainstream, that are in this wave, that are going to be really people who are going to make big paradigm shifts, really consciousness shifts and so forth, are getting these like little bleeps coming in, gifts come in of all sorts. Sometimes certain intuitive talents will show up. This may, for you, for example, be the beginning of a period in which you're going to find yourself far more intuitive and you're going to hear more messages. And if you choose that, you know, and you open up to that, if you can kind of remembering that no-mind state that you were in when you got it, great. Then you can open up and have more of these experiences. And when you get these experiences, recognize this is not a demand for you to, you know, stick this into your schedule on top of everything else. The workaholic will see it that way. The workaholic, you know, the linear-driven person, we'll see that they have to just, you know, do the, okay, this means I've got to do all this research and I've got to do all of this and learn all of this and go here and do that and do that other thing. No. No. Don't jam it into your schedule. Stay in priority. But you may want to reevaluate what your priorities are after you've received the gift, because the gift may change you. And so therefore you may be more, and you may be in a higher state of being than you were before. Not a heck of a lot, but a little bit. And that may be enough for you to evaluate things differently and make some slightly new adjustments and honings and changings to some of the choices that you've already made, and therefore start shifting your direction a little bit. If you shift your direction just, you know, a half a degree, over time it becomes quite a bit. You see, and then uchit another little bit later on, and then uchit a little bit more. Sometimes then you can go right on up another spiral and find yourself on a whole nother level of self. All right, so very good things like that happen to you. That's happening all over. Probably most of you have had something like that happen to you as well. And when you hear it, you know, just let yourself open and celebrate it. All right, thank you. All right, who else?
The microphone is not a hot potato.
So we've answered all your questions? All right.
Hi, Alexis. This is Cindy.
Hello.
Without going into a big blah, blah story, is there anything we can do to help those who are here who choose to complain about their ho-hum drum life, let's see, how can I put it succinctly? They wake up every day and the same thing happens, and it doesn't matter what they do, it always turns out the same. And what's the point of being here if this is all life is? and this is all life is, because all we do is come here and do whatever and die, and there's nothing else. And then there's, I do everything I possibly can, but nothing ever happens. I'm talking, there's
nothing ever changes, does it?
No, nothing ever changes. And I try and I try and I try, and I do this.
I fail over and over, right?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. if I don't think about it, and if I'm creating this myself, then how can I stop creating this myself? I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and after a while it's like...
Well, most of the time they don't really seriously ask, how can I stop creating this? Most of the time they don't take much responsibility for it.
Well, they think they are.
I mean, well, a lot of people think that if they're taking responsibility for it, that means that they should beat themselves up with it over and over and over again. Yeah, that kind of came with what we call the old-timey school of metaphysics. Which was, okay, you're just suffering lots of karma, you know, or you've inherited it from your family. There's nothing you can do about it. And so if you want to change something, it's just too hard to change, really. Yeah, you want to change, but you're just really not willing to go there, and it's just too hard. Life is just sucks. It was a mistake coming here, blah, 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 blah. We'd suggest that when you're around a person like this, you can feel the tentacles creeping on you, can't you?
Yes.
Okay. These little gray or dark tentacles, maybe kind of like a blanket, a dark blanket, just moving, kind of to loom over you, trying to descend on you. What they're doing is that they're saying, I'm unwilling to change, and I don't want anybody else to change. Because they'll show me up. So don't you go off and change. I want you to feel sorry for me, listen to me, pay attention to me, give me some love.
Give me some money.
Give me some money. Give me some pity. Give, help me, help me, help me. I don't want to do anything for myself. Help me, help me. I refuse to change because mommy and daddy didn't love me enough. And so, by golly, I'm not going to grow up until I get what's mine. I'm entitled to something more than this, and whine, whine, whine.
She's 58.
Yeah, well, she's waited a long time to not grow up. Right. But the thing is, the thing is that if you were to go on, you know, if you were just to be happy, have a glorious life, live wondrously, live freely, and so on and so on and so on, what do they want you to do, people like this? They want you to feel guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have it so good. Oh, you're so lucky. Some people just get all the luck. But me, my life sucks. It'll always suck. There's jealousy. There's envy. They're really pissed at you. They want you to not be successful. They want you to be down in the pit with them. They want you to commiserate with them. They want to be able to manipulate you. Because if you start to become the light being that you are, fully loving, you can hear them say and say, well, what do you plan to do about it next? You can keep pushing them into, like, what's your future plans? What's your next step on it? Oh, well, I don't know. They don't have any. You see? They don't like you going there. They don't want you to point out, you know, that there's something they could do. They want you to admit that, yes, it's futile. You're just fine. Go ahead and sit there. I'll sit with you. And we'll be miserable together. No, that's not going to work for you. You came to create a new paradigm. So as you feel these tentacles coming on you, recognize it's your choice how much you accept, to recognize that they want you to feel guilty for your happiness, that they want to take energy from you, and they want to be vampires of your energy. The more successful you are, the more they want to suck on you or bring you down. All right? So as you feel this, and sometimes, and what makes it really difficult about this is sometimes, these are family members. You know, people that are very, very close to you who have expect that you're going to be their little girl or boy forever, or that you're going to be their mommy or daddy forever and take care of them, and or whatever it is. You know, there is, the thing is that they want to arrest you somewhere in time, and then where they can have control of you, where they can take energy from you, and then they don't have to do anything. Well, this is because their shame is so intense, there's no way they're going to look at themselves, really. And they want to judge things. They want to get up on a pedestal and judge things. They want to create separation. Now, you may love them. They may be your family, your blood, your kin, your dearest. But it's going to be really important for you, if you love them, to not buy into it, to not respond in the way that they know, that you know, that they want you to respond. Respond with love and say things that they can hear, like, oh, you're probably right, you know, because that's what they want to prove. They want to prove they're right. And that's it, point. Okay, now they're proving they're right. Great. Now I don't have to. Now I don't have to be exposed as the failure that I am. I'm right, okay? Even my children say I'm right, okay? So you say, okay, you may be right. Because for their life, they probably are. You know, you're not lying. Say things like how you're grateful they're in your life and you love them very much. But don't go codependent with them. Don't let them leech off of you. Physically, emotionally, financially, energetically, any which way. You're a light being. You've got to create a new reality for yourself. Now, the upshoot of this is that if you actually do love yourself without judging them, without looking down on them, without pitying them and falling into any of their games, you just look at them with love. And you just love them and appreciate, hey, this is what they're going through, and appreciate what you've learned by them, because anytime they come up with whiny, you know, I'm right stuff, look in your life. Where do you still have any threads of where you need to be right? Where do you have any of this? It's a mirror for you. But once you clear it out, then the love will flow with no judgment. Because right now, it's very tempting, dear one, for you to judge this person. They're judging you. So it's very tempting to judge them right back. Okay, well, up yours too. You're just not with the new reality. You're going to be left behind. Threat, threat, threat. Yeah? You're not taking responsibility for your life. You're not taking care of things. You know, don't go there. Unless they contract you as their teacher. Unless it's official. You are going to mentor them. You're going to teach them. But none of this underhanded agenda stuff where they can pull your energy and you feel guilted into doing this and that for them. If you feel guilted into doing anything, stop. Release all the anger and resentment and judgment that you have at them. Breathe deeply, walk away, get yourself in a different state, take your power back from them, and then reevaluate. We're going to talk about a little bit about how to get your power back in just a little bit. But getting your it can be just as simple as becoming aware, because most of you know that you're powerful already. You may not feel comfortable with it sometimes, but you know you are. So you can take your power back from anybody that you have a tendency to give it away to, such as a family member. All right. So when that child comes a begging yet again, or the parent seems to put a wet blanket upon you and judges and disapproves everything you want to do, just breathe it out. Breathe all that victim and martyr kind of crap out, you know. You don't want to be a martyr for anybody anymore. You don't want to be on a cross for anybody. You don't want to take their sins on you. Heck, that's been done, okay? New paradigm, okay? So what you do is that you just breathe it out, just in your mind, just imagine it going out, and then you say, you sit, visualize the person in your mind and say, power, return to me, because you gave your power to them, so you can just take it back. Breathe in. Pull the power back. Feel it coming right back into you. Power, return to me. And if they're standing there waiting for you to fall into their game, into their ploy, and you don't feel that you can just walk away, say, excuse me just a minute, and walk away and process everything, we would suggest that you do the channel's grandmother used to do. She used to put up her index finger like this, just kind of point it up in front of her, which means, wait, pause, hold on a minute. It's a familiar gesture. It's a gesture of power. What do people do when the finger comes up? What do? If somebody puts a finger up?
Stop.
You may not want to, but you do. It's like, interrupt. There's a finger up. You put a finger up and say, I'm going to think about that. I'll get back with you. You can always delay. And in that delay, you take your power over how many times you need to take it. You need to evaluate, process, do whatever you need to do. Image of the new future, image of the past, change it this way, that way, the other way, until you come back a different person and say, thank you very much. And I don't think that it's appropriate right now. Or I'm not feeling that it's going to work well at this point. Or if for some people, blame it on your spirit guides, okay? My guidance says. It's not appropriate to do that right now. Or whatever it is. You know, whatever it works for you, right? But stay in your power. Stay in your love. Now, if people who do this are not people that you're close to, not members of your family or people that you really care about their approval or disapproval, doesn't make any difference. You stay in your power without any problem, don't you? It's those little sucky games and agendas that you have with people you're intimate with or close to in some regard or have some kind of codependent relationship with where you really get into this type of thing. It's on an individual basis what Diane's question was about in a global sense. You have to live happy and with love. And what's interesting is that once you actually do it, they will change. Now, they may not change the way you think they should. And if you have any ideas about that, they need to go. Everyone's on their own path of power, their own personal path of choice. Their free will experience. A lot of you have come from universes that did not have free will, and so it's been quite an interesting experiment to have it and to work with it. And so you get called. It's like getting called to the ministry, you know. It's not a demand from God, but there is an opportunity opens up, and your heart sings, and you answer it with joy and passion. That's the difference in this universe. Another universe, you get called, go here, do that. And you do. Here, it's like, this suits me, this connects with me. What a beautiful opportunity, I'll do it. So always stay in that kind of place. You always have the opportunity to step into greater light, to own more of yourself. And as you do that, this touches and impacts the people around you. You'll find your relationships with your family and with people that you do have done this dance with, instead of putting a blanket over you, you'll find the relationships healing. You'll find they'll stay off your case. Interestingly enough, they'll be puzzled by you. They don't know what happened to you. At first, they'll be angry and try even harder. But then after a while, if you just keep the resonance, if you just keep your focus in your light and your love and no judgment, there's no resistance. it accelerates the healing of the relationship. Doesn't mean that you'll have the perfect relationship you always wanted with your mommy or with your child. But it will accelerate the healing process because the resistance that you have is gone. You have a lot of power with time. If you take care of yourself, doing healing for yourself, it will accelerate the healing for the world. You're not in any rush to heal the world. But by hearing the statements of pain and sorrow and suffering that are out there from people who really don't know what they're doing, you have compassion. And you've chosen to come at a time where time seems to accelerate. Why? Because you're lining stuff up more now. You're lining stuff up with less resistance. This is your spiritual journey. And your universe, your world, will reflect it. The people in your lives will appreciate it. They will feel loved. If they leave, if they reject you, if they push you away, and you are being the light being without judgment, with no resistance, allowing your life to unfold magically and beautifully for yourself, it means that they have no more of your stuff to reflect to you, and that they choose by their free will. Although their will isn't too free if they don't know who they are. But anyway, but that the link that they can choose, they choose to continue the program of the consensus, of the collective. Then you mourn their leaving. You mourn the loss. You let them go with love. It's like when you're a parent, at some point you have to let your child go. You have to let your child be an adult. You have to let yourself stop being mommy or daddy. You have to stop the roles and just become light beings, loving people. Right? It's a powerful transformation. It's happening all over the planet. You're in a place to where it's happening with the greatest acceleration and the greatest opportunity. You did that because that was your choice. You made good choices to be on this wave. And what's going to happen is that by your holding this resonance, you're going to help a lot of people get through the chaos. And when you help people, when you lift them, when you inspire them, what will happen is that they will start to take their power too. They'll start to remember who they really are too. And they'll come with you to the new world. They don't have to stay in the old world of destruction. Because this planet and its peoples are in a certain reality time frame and a timeline for destruction. But you've already made the shift. You've shifted over. And that shift, after a while, will become so apparent that the reality that you're in and the reality that you perceive, the destructive reality, will be two different worlds. And for a while, you'll see both of them. And then there will come a time that the old one will drop off. You won't see it anymore. You'll be in the new reality. It will have changed, and you will have participated in it. The timing of this is dependent on you. And yet you have all the time to do it. That doesn't mean ignore, you know, global warming or any of those crises. You detox your body. Then it'll help people start to be aware of the toxicity on the planet to help detox it. You do your part. You're the microcosm. You see. And as you do that, as you get your life smooth, you accelerate the path of healing. Working with time on that level becomes an absolute exciting and thrilling experience when you start to see the impact that you are having personally on heads of state in other countries as well as this one. You'll be amazed. It'll be quite fun. But by that time, you won't have any judgments about politics. If you gave up all the judgments about politics right now, things would change pretty well. That's your choice, of course, whenever you're ready for that. All right. Yeah, we think we'll go for another break now. And this will be a little bit longer break. Thank you, dear ones, who've asked these questions. Very good questions. And so on. We're going to take a break, and this break will be about 20 minutes. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the process of the healing, your relationship with time, and how to work with time on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment kind of basis, so that you can, in a sense, be in mastery of time, not as the dominator, but as a partner with time. Time helping you out, time being your ally, time being like a spirit guide for you. Right? Wouldn't you like time as a friend? Yeah. Think of what would happen to your aging process if you and time were friends. Hey, time, could you clear up all these wrinkles over here? All right, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And so for now, farewell.